that ethereal tomorrow that we all believe and cling to, where tomorrow it won't be so busy, tomorrow I'm going to feel okay. The answer is not out there. It's not easier in another company or flitting between corporate or entrepreneurialism. It's all within. Running away doesn't solve anything.
Urban Jungle brings stories from people around the globe that design and build a better world. I am Magda Flores and this is Urban Jungle. Welcome. Did you know that where we live and how we interact affects our well-being? Yet, when we talk about well-being, we tend to talk about me. Well-being is about we, the community and the environment we live in. It is time to shift the paradigm from me to we. Check out the Urban Wellbeing Training courses developed in partnership with the UK's Chartered Institute of Water and Environmental Management at www.siwem.org.
This is an interview with Bianca Best, entrepreneur, executive business coach, speaker, author of Flourish, and recently launched Big Impact Without Burnout. A real pleasure. Hello, Bianca. How are you?
Hello. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. And would you like to share a place you like to visit near where you live?
I like to go to the very top of Reigate Hill, Coley Hill, which you probably know well. And I go up there with my Dalmatian and my family, and we like to walk and grab coffees or hot chocolates and bagels and then go to the amazing viewpoints over Surrey.
Lovely. Tell us a little bit about you, about your background.
Well, I am a proud mother of four. I am an entrepreneur, an award-winning global executive and an author. And right now I am devoting my life to ensuring that individuals become the stars of their own stories, running a clinic that is fully intent on scaling strategies for how to thrive in the modern day and age.
Wow. That feels like an awful lot. So what kind of coaching do you do? Would you like to spell it out for us a little bit more so that we fully understand?
Absolutely. Well, the number one complaint that my clients come to me with is the fact that they don't have enough energy and they don't have enough time. So I have an approach that is entirely holistic and integrative. Basically, I encourage clients to get in touch with who they are and what actually matters to them. So we set very clear intentions around goals that they believe that they wish to achieve, and we really hone them. And I bring clients back into a place of integrity where they're living and working in a way where they're in true alignment, because my belief and knowledge and practice and all the healing modalities that I've studied have taught me that if we are out of alignment with that which we value most, we will never feel fulfillment. And if we're not in a congruent state of fulfillment and coherence, we're showing up in our lives and what actually matters most to us in our hearts, then we will never feel satisfied and we'll be in an endless cycle of constantly yearning and striving. And when we're in that state of feeling stressed and other focused, where we're always seeking external validation or achievements, it's exhausting and it's unsustainable. So I teach clients how to come back into themselves, ground themselves into physical strength, mental strength, and emotional strength to enable them to find that deep leader within and their empowerment to go out and achieve their life goals and really find joy.
It sounds really difficult for someone to be able to understand when, you know, when we are working on the daily lives and, you know, taking kids here and there and running around, and then you have a meeting, then another meeting, and occasionally working weekends, or sometimes working weekends most of the time. How can we actually step back and work out, am I in alignment? Because sometimes we haven't got the capacity or the space to be able to think so clearly.
Well, and that is the problem. Society has normalized frenetic busyness and a cultural acceptance of being on the hamster wheel has really permeated culture and societies at scale, but clearly we're not surviving and it's not working because the burnout statistics are pretty catastrophic and they're worsening year upon year. So I teach clients how to get into a place of self-awareness to understand if productivity is frenetic or graceful. Because in my lived experience, having burnt out repeatedly in my 20s and early 30s, and really spent decades honing how not to burn out and to sustain impact, I have learned that it's having the self-awareness and creating space to be self-aware that enables us to grow. So being in reactivity and on a hamster wheel and doing, 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 doing consistently becomes a state of reactivity. And if we are living our lives in reactivity, we are allowing a state of passivity to permeate. And in a state of reactivity and passivity, we start drifting downstream and life starts happening to us. And that is the first precursor to the risk of burnout, a sense of life happening to us, where we feel overwhelmed by the breadth of demands from family, from kids, from the boss, from colleagues, whatever it might be. When we feel exactly that, when we feel we've just got to respond to the next demand, we're losing control. And we need to get into a state of empowered autonomy where we're directing and guiding focus and energy in such a way towards what matters most. And it's only in that state that we can truly thrive. So, yes, life is busy and it's never going to stop being busy. And this is a lot of what I teach in my work about that ethereal tomorrow that we all believe and cling to, where tomorrow it won't be so busy. Tomorrow I'm going to feel okay. That's not coming unless we do the work within, because the task lists are going to get longer and longer. They're never going to end. We're never going to cross it all off. And the age of retirement working for longer and longer. And we're seeing a real trend of people wanting to leave their companies because they blame their company for the fact that they're burning out or feeling stressed. And sadly, the statistics all point to the fact that running away doesn't solve anything. So there's an awful, staggering statistic I read the other day where 44% of women who during the pandemic decided to leave their corporate jobs, pursue a passion, set up a yoga studio or whatever it might be, 44% of them have gone back to corporate because they found it more challenging running a business. They chased a dream and ideology that entrepreneurialism would be better than a corporate existence. They've realized it's not so. But equally, we're seeing lots of C-suite leaders seeking to change companies because even they fear the organization that they're currently in is too intense. But if they go somewhere else, it will feel better. And what I'm teaching is that that's nonsense. You have to go within. Do the work to understand how you can personally manage stress, manage life to what matters most to you. And when you find your inner stability, that the foundational imperatives, as I call them, you're able then to thrive. But the answer is not out there. It's not easier in another company or flitting between corporate or entrepreneurialism. It's all within.
My word, all within. It sounds like one needs you very, very much so. And also,
I'm happy to
of
help.
course, because you have put all these learnings and teachings within the big impact without burnout. So that must have been a huge challenge. I mean, to get it out beautiful. What did that book give you?
Well, I am devoted to giving to others, and so this book really is the Bible that I wish I had been able to read earlier on in my career. Because we don't get taught at school that as life expands, if we want to have it all, we shouldn't do it all. But nobody ever teaches us that. And so I really learned the hard way. And as I left school and grew into adulthood and became responsible for a property, and I had to learn DIY and mortgages, and I had to learn about relationships and marriage and parenting and pet ownership and a career and building a business and. I subscribed to the myth that having it all meant doing it all. And so I repeatedly kept slamming into wall after wall of burnout where I properly crumbled. And one of the worst burnouts I had was where I was hospitalized with total immune collapse. And I don't want anyone else to suffer the way that I suffered at that rock bottom. Hair had all fallen out. I had tonsillitis, conjunctivitis, and I was told my body was starting to shut down. I was in such a chronic stress state, and I couldn't see it any other way of living or being. And it took me many, many years to work out how to thrive. And what I talk about in this book is how initially my reaction to burnout was, this is just physical. I'm physically broken, therefore I need to physically rejuvenate. So try more sleep, try cutting out processed foods, no alcohol, no sugar, etc. That wasn't enough. So then I started dabbling with more mental practices. And I've always been very interested in personal development and self-hypnosis, subliminal work. And now I started to up my gratitude practice, my journaling, more meditation, more mental work. So I was ticking the physical box, ticking the mental box. But for me, the real epiphany came when I addressed the emotional dimension of myself. And I started to pay attention to the niggles and the triggers that were showing up repeatedly, and really tried to look under the hood of what was creating that disquiet within me. And that was really hard work, because that meant ending a 26-year marriage. It meant leaving a corporate culture that was stifling me. It meant doing some very brave things. But I realized that that is the magic, because too often we're just suppressing what's really underneath by being busy, being distracted.
Absolutely. I know what you mean. I broke down 20 years ago. Yes, I did break down because I, deep inside, an entrepreneur. The pressures that I had around me were, you shall not be an entrepreneur. And that was incredibly hard for people around me to understand. My family in Mexico understood it, but my family in the UK didn't. And they didn't know what was happening till basically I nearly shut down. And eventually I went into the corporate world because that was what kept me sort of going.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But it was, as you say, a little bit numb, not really what I should have been doing. And working with my husband, we realized that tough, that's who I am. I'm not going to be someone who I am not. Very many times I thought, I'm going to quit here, I'm off. But it worked out, it persisted.
Good for you.
And I would have loved to read your book 20 years ago. So it is amazing that you've got it out now for people so that they can actually do that inner analysis earlier on, much earlier on.
Exactly. Well, exactly. Because it's like you just said, it was compromise. You were compromised. And that's core to this book, is don't compromise yourself. If you compromise on what matters most, later it's going to come up and just slap you in the face.
Yes.
So be really conscious of where you're compromising, and don't compromise. Don't compromise on what your soul is really guiding you to do. And sadly, too many of us do this. And the majority of clients that I work with are just in this world of, how do I get out of created around me, that is a world created in compromise.
Absolutely. I wanted to have it all. I wanted to have my entrepreneurial business. I wanted to have a marriage. I wanted to have a happy family. I wanted to have happy kids, that they would do sports and music. So the pile up of stuff. And on top of that, well, not being respected for being an entrepreneur deep in my soul was the thing that I compromised wrongly. And now I know that. And now I do what I need to do. And that's worked after an awful lot of pain. I didn't need that pain.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? The wisdom that comes as we're older and we reflect. And that's why, with this book, I'm giving it to my daughter, and she's 21 in her age group. I just want to really scale the importance of not compromising on who you are. Follow your heart, because the minute you follow a logic, a rationale that you're reasoning with yourself to pursue, it's out of tune with what's chiming within, and that's where we need to pay attention. And it's hard for a lot of people, but our instincts are really guiding us.
So, if you would like to share the three things that you have learned, I know that you have mentioned some, but make them really clear so that we stick with those three things top of our heads. What would those be?
Okay, so first thing then is try and get out of your head and into your body as often as you can. We are overthinking, overanalyzing, overplanning all time, and we can send ourselves into absolute spirals. So try and get out of your head and get into your body, especially if you're in a panic state or feeling triggered and feeling a rush of emotions. And my little tip for how to do this is to, if you're in a boardroom or you're in a stressed situation or out in public with the kids and you know that you need to calm yourself, just rub your thumbs and your two forefingers together. And as you do so, really feel that physical sensation of the texture, the sensations. And while you're doing it, take a deep breath through your nose into your belly and inflate your belly. So you do belly breathing with this, and you can do that in 60 seconds, and it immediately soothes the nervous system and it's incredibly empowering.
Wow.
So that's one. The second one I would say that's probably biggest for your listeners and viewers to pay attention to is where we feel we're in this crisis, this human energy crisis. I don't have enough energy. Help. I can't take on any more. My energy is depleted. Remember, you are a beautiful human being who's created with the ability to produce all the energy you need to sustain. All that's going wrong is we have lost our rhythmic tune into our natural energetic rhythms. And once we wake up, I recognize and respect our bio-individuality and learn about our natural energy rhythms, understanding sleep, diet, stress, all the different dynamics I write about in my book, we can work out how to bring back into harmony. And the body will always support us in that because homeostasis means physically we're always being brought back into balance. But if we are continuously distorting balance with caffeine or stress or busyness, and not understanding the beautiful dynamic between stress and rest. If we're constantly in stress and survival mode, we can't sustain. So learn your individual relationship with stress and rest and work out what that interplay is and conscientiously manage your energy flow. Because once you do, it's magic. You have an abundance. And I'm not kidding. I'm solo parenting my four kids, running a business, working nonstop, busy, busy, still working out all the time, seeing friends, happy, joyful, creating the energy I need because I've worked out how to work with my natural energetic rhythms.
Okay, natural energetic rhythms. That's a new one to me.
Wow. Well, you will love the book. There's a harmonic energy state scorecard and a map, and how you create yourself, how you take yourself into this place of finding your harmonic energy state. So that's number two. And then number three is really this journey within self-awareness. I did an event last week where I asked 200 people in the audience, how many people here have a journal? And I think it was less than 1% put their hands up. And that shocked me because I've journaled since I was eight and I make an unconscious bias and assumption that everybody journals. Everyone's interested in that because I'm in the filter bubble where, that's what I assume the world is like. But the reality is too few people take the time to do the work to go within. And my journal is my absolute, that's my comfort blanket. That is where I go to nourish myself in my moments of stress, whether I'm in a busy corporate day where I leave the office to go and sit on a bench and journal for 10 minutes before I go back in, even if I'm 10 minutes late for a meeting. Journaling for me is one of the ways that I still and steady myself and I reconnect inwards every day. And I did it this morning, 5 o'clock this morning. I woke up early. That's not, I like my sleep, but annoyingly, I woke up early where I've got a nest of buzzards outside the window. They woke me up early and I just thought, oh, okay, I'm just going to have an hour to journal. And I did. And I wrote, and I love the ritual. I've got a lovely gel pen that flows on the page and a pretty, pretty journal. And it's a ritual for me that connects me back into myself, perspectives, interactions, wishes, wants, hurts, but just to reflect. And I always end every journal entry with a thank you and lots of hearts.
Once you've journaled, do you go back? When or how did you go back? Or it's just done and dusted?
I've collected journals since I was 8 years old. I've never thrown one away. I mean, I have stacks and stacks and stacks in my loft. And for many years, I felt too cringy to go back and read the ones when I was 16. I don't want to look at them. But the baby ones, I wrote even with babies, I would be breastfeeding and journaling. And the magic for me, that was just my children, just most joyful, joyful periods of my life. I've captured it all. And I describe the nuzzling of the baby, the smell, how I felt. And I like to take myself back there because I go back to memories that are so basked in love that it's just nice. Whereas I'm sure there are some journals when I've been in hideous states where I don't want to read any of that. But I don't write for the purpose of going back and rereading. It's more about the presence of connecting with who I am in this moment and releasing something. And it's a spiritual practice as much as it's a conscious, rejuvenating, deliberate, avoid burnout practice.
Very interesting. I'll think about that because I did journal, particularly in really bad times. And I was doing an awful lot of self-analysis and finding out where things went wrong and how could I be better and rebuilding myself effectively. And I came across this journal and I looked at it and I thought, wow, I've moved on so much.
Fantastic.
There was a pat on the back thinking, yes, Magda, you survived.
Yeah,
Now, I don't know what else will happen in life. I'm sure lots of
well
things happen. I never thought about going back. It was just I happened to be tidying up and it basically jumped off the bookcase towards me. And I thought, okay.
Yeah, that was divine intervention. You were meant to have that pat on the back, that well done. Look how far you've come. Because that actually is also a very important dynamic in life that we don't do that often enough. We're always looking forwards and sort of clutching on to how do I get there? How do I get there? And it's very important to go, wow, I've gone from there to here. So it's good that you did that.
That was very coincidental. I don't often do that. I'm always trying to read so much that the pile of books to read is bigger than me wanting to write, although I do write. But anyway, that, yeah, journaling sometimes. Unfortunately, I have not given it the priority. So talking to you means it will go up in the list of things.
Good. Good.
So what else would you like to share about you that has made you the person you are today?
Well, I have really learned to lean into my triggers with curiosity, and I really believe there's gold when we investigate our triggers. There's an opportunity to grow. So, leaning into triggers without judgment, without self-criticism, without other-centric criticism, but with curiosity, I think is a very empowering way to expand through life. And I fundamentally believe melt every single negative emotion or circumstance with love. And love is what guides me, it's what makes me feel whole, safe, nurtured, expansive, joyful. I mean, love is everything. And I bring love into every situation I can, even a really scary boardroom meeting where I feel intimidated. And who am I to have a seat? I will just sit there and feel a connection and send love to everyone around that table and in that room. And somehow that melts the fear. It's the way.
Awesome. Thank you very much. how can we get in touch with you?
To get in touch with me, please buy my book, Big Impact Without Burnout. You can get in touch with me at my website, biancabest.com, and you can do a burnout assessment. Have a little look to see how close you are to potentially burning out. And I publish a newsletter weekly where I share tips. And also, I release a show called The Big Impact Show. So please follow me on YouTube or Instagram, and you can catch the show there as well.
Thank you.
This is Urban Jungle with your host, Magda Flores. Thanks for joining, and if there is a topic or people you would like to hear from, all you have to do is drop me a line. My email address is urbanwsolutions@gmail.com. Urban environments need your help. Be part of the solution. Check out our training courses on urban well-being. Developed in partnership with SIWEM, the UK's Chartered Institute of Water and Environmental Management, at www.siwem.org.